Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And we're back, you know. We're not intentionally trying to have these hiatuses, these little micro week, midweek, we're not showing the show anymore type things, but Louisiana is just really weird sometimes.
Like, really?
What did you weird. Do during your, like, your Ice-mageddon, ice-pocalypse or whatever that went through here?
We worked.
We worked, yeah.
We had to work.
I did too. It wasn't bad. For those that don't know, for those that haven't been watching either Reddit or any of the blogs out there.
Or outside.
Or the news. Well, I mean, for non-Louisiana people. It like sort of snowed. It was more like ice. I feel like people up north would, you know, they would see what we got and they would just laugh at us like, oh, that's not snow, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the issue with that is, though, is they're prepared for things like that.
And they got salt.
Yeah, we don't have salt. We use the sand out of our flood sandbags.
We don't have salt.
We don't have salt. We eat all the salt in Louisiana. Yeah. We don't have any for the snow.
That's
the problem.
That is the problem. It iced over. We had this freak weather system come through two Fridays ago, and then last Tuesday and Wednesday and part of last Thursday, and it iced everything up, and there was snow on my roof when I woke up, and that's crazy. Just not normal in Louisiana, right? That's crazy.
Not even a little bit.
But we did pull. Thank gosh for the archive shows that we have.
That's why we keep archives.
We do keep archives. You listened to season 3, which is almost exactly a year ago. I think it was a year and a day in the past. It was me and Will North talking about something. I don't even know, but it was awesome stuff and junk. But we're here now. We're ready. Super Bowl has come and gone, and again,
and that team won.
Yeah, team.
That was. Did you catch the spectacle?
You know, it wasn't. It was a fantastic experience.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get too far into the show, let's go ahead and pitch our website, like we always do. Bear, what's that website?
That's exppoints.com.
And what's that Facebook?
That's facebook.com/experience.
You know what I learned? Because facebook.com/experience points, it's really long, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
You could do fb.com, and it works.
Mind is blown.
fb.com/experience points. So that's up there. We've got a lot of really cool stuff that we've been posting. Big news. We're just going to kick off the news on the website. We're on iTunes.
We made it.
We're basically
internet famous.
We could cash in our chips. Like that, we're done. We don't need to gamble anymore. We're on iTunes.
Yeah, Apple has accepted us.
You can't. If Apple accepts you, you're one step above.
You made the A list at this point.
There you
point.
Go. You're on the I list now.
The I list.
So go check us out. It is the Experience Points Radio Show on iTunes. You can search for that in the podcast section or just in the iTunes store. Sync us up. Download it. It'll, you know, anytime there's something on the website.
I feel synced.
Yeah. You should.
Yeah, I feel like I've been synced recently.
You should. I know in January alone, with no advertising, because it's been on iTunes for a while. We just hasn't been advertising it.
A secret.
Well, we've been working on like art, you know, crazy art assets, and making sure technology can keep up with it, and getting good providers and hosting for the MP3 files. There was a lot of logistics that went into it, but when iTunes accepted us, we were on iTunes. So if you found us by accident or on purpose, or you're listening to us now because you found that, congratulations. I think we had like 100-some-odd show downloads. Over half of January from when it was put up there. Really, really cool. Also on the website, we've got two reviews that I put up recently. It was the Dollar Shave Club. Again, it seems really out of place.
Oh, you're in that?
Yeah, yeah. I signed up.
I watched the review and decided if I want it.
I signed up for the executive. It's a $9 razor that $9 I get a month worth of shaving with the better or premium as the Gillette Fusion that I use now, but I don't have to pay $30 a month for razor blades, which is really cool.
I mean, you could just stop shaving.
I could, and I put something in there, you know, if you're shaving or whatever, or you don't want to shave because you're growing a beard and it's going to be awesome, that's fine. But if you're going to be one of those people that are like, be a man, get a beard, I shave so I can grow a beard so I can shave. That's how I look at it. I grow a beard all the time. I just get rid of it because I want another one, you know?
I'm tired of this beard.
It's not the perfect beard yet. So
when you find that perfect beard, you'll know.
It really is.
The beard
is.
Finds you.
I'll name it Calvary. It there's also another review I did. I'm playing through Mass Effect 2. I was telling you a while back I was playing through the Mass Effect series.
Yeah. It's a good series.
Mass Effect 1 was really hard to play through because it's just it's an old game now. I feel like
I played it a couple of years ago, I guess, but it wasn't bad.
Mass Effect, well, no, it's not bad. It's just it's like playing a game with really weird controls, like Deus Ex, the original Deus Ex. It's like it's like playing a game
not as bad as Deus
with control. Yeah, it's not that bad. Not that Deus Ex is bad. It's just old.
No, the game's great. It's just the controls. You have to reprogram your brain.
It really
WASD is not what you think they are.
Right. That's how I felt with Mass Effect. It wasn't as exaggerated, but there were things. There were gameplay elements. There were like loading scenes that were masked as elevator rides that just were really annoying. And they recognized that, and BioWare took it out in number two and number three. But playing one was really difficult, and it didn't really look super fantastic either. They were trying a bunch of film grain cinematic stuff, and I didn't really care for it.
I remember turning the film grain off instantly.
Yeah, there was this really weird, like, exaggerated motion blur effect that they put on there. You could turn it all off, but I went with defaults. I just bumped all the resolutions up, played through one, played through two, and I found out that there were these really awesome HD mods for it, so I loaded up some HD mods, some HD textures, really cool.
As per, I think, our last show that we actually recorded, everything new coming out, it's just the same thing with HD.
It is.
Textures.
Well, Mass Effect 3, I beat Mass Effect 2, saved everybody, had almost a perfect game, and then started Mass Effect 3 with HD mods, and it looks fantastic. I went ahead and put a video review with a side-by-side comparison on the website. You want to check that out. It's really cool. In gaming news, Macintosh. First off, 30 years for Apple, fairly recently.
And like two of gaming.
Right, but they're getting there. We recently, last show, we were talking about Tomb Raider, the Definitive Edition coming out, which for Xbox One and PS4 would introduce both of those consoles to a super crazy HD, mega HD, better than PC game for Tomb Raider. Something that Mac hasn't really been very, good with was playing games. And
no, they even tried to make that console the one time.
Yeah, the Pippin. It really didn't work out. But Mac, Mac's been catching up. Well, recently, almost in sync with the definitive release of Tomb Raider, they've got Tomb Raider, the non-definitive, like I guess the same version that PC has, they've got it for Mac now. So if you own the version on Steam, or if you own, a version, I'm not sure anywhere else, but...
Steam probably does it. Because Gabe's jumping ship.
I know Steam does it.
Gabe's jumping ship with Windows.
If you have a Steam version of the game, you already bought it for your PC, and you by some chance have a Mac, then you've also got a Mac version now. You can play it on the Mac. If you don't have that, and you want the game, if you don't own Tomb Raider yet, we're giving it away. We're giving away Tomb Raider.
Just for free.
For free.
We love you guys.
All you have to do, go to the website, exppoints.com, and, there's a post. It's like sticky to the very top of the first page. Or you can click on blog, go there.
We use a lot of duct tape to sticky that.
Yeah. There's got to be a better way to do it, honestly. I feel like we need to learn.
It shows up on the monitor we taped it to, but I can't pull it up on my computer.
No, and it doesn't scroll very well either. We keep having to unsticky it and move it.
We'll figure out a better thing to do later.
To check it out, if you want to play the game, if you want it, we're giving away one copy. It's for PC and for Mac, and I guess you could rig it for Linux now that it's got Mac Play in it. I'm not going to speak for it, but we're going to run it for another about 2 weeks. It's not the definitive edition, but check it out anyway. The only things you have to answer, get as many people to like the Facebook page and visit the site as possible. But the question that we're asking is, if you were stranded on a desert island, what gaming system and game would you want to have with you? Anything goes. So,
now I'm going to assume this desert island has power.
It conveniently is located somewhere where you have an infinite amount of power. You're able to get more than a laptop over there. And I'm going to even go ahead and say that you have digital download. So you could have, it could be an MMO. If you want to play WoW for the rest of your life, it could be WoW.
I think that's an obvious answer. You want something to communicate with the outside world.
Anything
get you
goes.
Off this island.
Anything goes.
Or is this like the Lost Island where, it's just crazy?
Creative. Oh, the actual Lost Styling. I don't know. Creative responses, please. Anything goes, though. We're not gonna say no. You can't do that because Elders, Skyrim Online or whatever. We're gonna move to our retro game. Sorry, we're gonna move to that retro game. It is Star Fox.
Barrel roll.
I really love Star Fox. Star Fox used to be really awesome, and then I feel like in the mid-2000s, Star Fox just kind of tanked, and it didn't really recover very well. And they're trying. Nintendo's trying, but Nintendo's not doing so well right now either, so I feel like that's a problem.
No,
For those that don't know, Star Fox came out in 1993. Really, really awesome for the Super Nintendo. Now, the Super Nintendo was a fantastic console. I don't think anyone's going to ever say it was not a good console because of the games that were released on it. Star Fox was one of those games. It had, in cartridge form, it had a Super FX chip that would allow it to do 3D graphics or sort of 3D graphics.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
It, again,
it was cool, though.
It was polygons. But that was okay, you know? It was really, really awesome. And it kind of showed the potential of what 3D could be. And I'm not talking about, like, Virtual Boy 3D. I'm talking about, like, actual real good 3D. Mm-hmm. That 3D was real good.
Real good 3D, right? I tell you what.
It followed Fox McCloud. He was the part of – he was, like, the leader of Star Fox, which was this – big ship that was shaped like a fox of four, five. It depends.
Because in space, it really doesn't matter what shape your ship is.
Yeah, but it was shaped. It was like very gratuitous. You know, like yeah, we're making a statement. We're foxes.
Yeah, we're foxes.
His dad, Fox McCloud's dad, apparently was like a really awesome fox soldier ranger.
Sly fox.
Fox ranger. Oh, hey, minor tangent off of that. Sly Cooper. Thievius Raccoonus is getting a theater release. They are turning that into a full-fledged 3D movie, along with Ratchet and Clank. So, fantastic. Look for Ratchet and Clank in 2015, fun. And then Sly Cooper in 2016. But back to Star Fox. Back to that retro review. Super FX chip did a lot of math co-processing, which was really neat back in the day. Because
you didn't have to do all the math yourself.
Right. Normally, you'd have to write it all down and imagine. You just have to think about how it looked
3D. This is tabletop gaming that we've fallen back to.
Right.
That's our retro section.
really fun fact. Star Fox was based off of a shrine to a fox god who could fly, which Miyamoto, who was one of the publishers and creators, which he visited several times. Now, this was like in the heyday. This was the heyday of Nintendo. They had composers like Koji Kondo, which is most famous for like Mario, if you've ever heard anything from Mario.
You have.
Miyamoto, Mario, you know,
Mario's
Hirasawa.
Kind of a big selling point.
It was really, really awesome.
So there is one thing with Star Fox, and it's, you know, iconic do a barrel roll thing. The fact that you do realize it's not actually a barrel roll.
Right. It's just, I mean, he's just spinning.
No.
He's just like rotating on, I guess, a Y-axis or an X-axis. A barrel roll is actually making, like tracing a circle with the center of the ship, sort of.
Yeah. So what he actually does is called an aileron roll. I probably said that wrong if anyone's into aviation.
That sounds like a sushi roll. Like
I know,
like
you would eat that.
You're going to go get some aileron rolls.
So to educate you a little bit, it's not a barrel roll, but just have fun with it anyway.
The original Star Fox came out in 93. Star Fox 2, which was canceled, and yet you can still find some translated hacked ROMs online. It was going to come out in 95, but it didn't. Star Fox 64. Now, this was the big next things for Star Fox, and I think it helped sell the N64 a lot.
That and GoldenEye.
Star Fox 64, GoldenEye, Mario 64. Star Fox 64 specifically came out in 97, which was really, really awesome. It pushed it into the next realm of actual 3D textures, not just colors. Really, really awesome. And again, we're going to put some comparisons on the site so you can under the show notes so you can see the big difference. But it is a very dramatic difference. And then it sort of fell again. Nothing was made for Star Fox up until like 2002. And then there was this game for the GameCube released called Star Fox Adventures, which Star Fox Adventures, I own Adventures and Assault, and I don't think they're good games. Because Adventures is like an RPG all of a sudden. It introduced like a romantic character to the Star Fox team. It turned Star Fox into like a furry game, drastically. Like
maybe they felt that's where the community was going with it, and just misread it.
Maybe. I mean, I think the best thing that can be said about Star Fox Assault and Star Fox Adventures, specifically Adventures, it was a high quality looking game. I mean, the visuals were pretty nice for the GameCube at the time, but again, it wasn't the same type of Star Fox that you kind of became accustomed to. Likewise, Star Fox Assault, which was released 3 years later, 2005, for the GameCube again, it looked really nice, and it did bring back some of the, that was the thing. Star Fox Adventures was more of a you controlled Fox, you controlled Crystal. Pistol, this other arbitrary character they introduced, you didn't really get in a lot of vehicles. The vehicle sections were very almost like rail shooter-ish, not that great. Whatever, but then Assault brought that back. You were able to get back into, because that was
that's what everyone wants to do.
That's what everyone wants to be Star Fox for. They want to fly. They want to do multiplayer or something. Well, Star Fox Assault brought that back, but then there were some. Unfortunately, there were some like ground combat levels where you'd run around with phaser blasters and blast, and it just kind of it really turned the entire gameplay upside down. It was in a bad way. It was just offsetting, really off-putting. There wasn't a lot there. They could have taken it out, but it wasn't as bad as what they did next. What they did next was in 2006.
You thought that was bad. Check this out.
We've got one better. Star Fox Command for the Nintendo DS. This was the unfortunate buy from me. When I had a Nintendo DS, I bought this thinking it was going to be like Star Fox 64, which I didn't want to buy at the time because I didn't have a 3DS. Star Fox Command is like this. This is a bad game. Like, this is, I think this is about what maybe a freshman or a sophomore level college course should be able to produce. I feel very strongly because I was taken in, and then I should have looked at reviews. It was an impulse buy. I bought it right on the as soon as I saw it on the shelf, I'm like, mine. And I slapped it in the DS, and I was like, time to play some Star Fox, because Star Fox. And it disappointed me. It was really, really bad. Poor so G. You've got the top screen, and you're flying around with the top screen, but you're not really flying around that great. It's not making good use of any mechanics that Star Fox was really known for. The bottom screen is like a map all the time. Like, no matter what, it's a map.
It just feels like with the dual screen things, Nintendo's never really utilize them fully.
Yeah, they didn't really do a good job with. I feel honestly the best thing, like Chrono Trigger for the DS, that worked all right.
That's all the best
use. Because it showed me my option screen all the time. So if I was going to switch somebody out, I would just tap down there and there it goes. But I didn't like the fact that there was another one that came out. I think it was one of the Zelda games. Maybe it was the one with the train. But it wasn't. It just didn't seem like it seemed like you were just using the same single screen mechanics, and you
just had that extra screen attached.
Right. It's no like, reason. What is it doing? Well, I don't know. I guess it could be a flashlight in the dark if you needed one. You know. Now, Star Fox Command did do 6-player local wireless multiplayer, but again, it was a horrible, horrible game. So you would probably never want to do it. However, in 2011, 5 years later, what actually needed to happen happened. Star Fox 64 3D. And it was released for the 3DS. It was a remake. It was fantastic. And it's what everyone wanted. The DS or the N64 version was so awesome, I thought, you know. And it was what you bought a Rumble Pack for. It was why you bought those accessories for your DS. And I feel like it was really, really great when it finally came out. And I know at E3, 2010.
And then they also dumped him into the Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
He was a good character in there.
Yeah, he was, you know what, some people even say that, like, he's overpowered, like, because of the blaster and because of his ranged attack. Like, some people ban him from tournament play, and I'm not sure that that's a really well-received type of ban. Like, there are other things that are game-breaking in, I guess, the N64 and the GameCube's version, but anyway. Star Fox 64 3D, pretty good, 81 on Metacritic, which isn't that bad. It's better than a lot of other ones.
I like how you phrase it. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Yeah. I mean, it's 19% bad? 18% bad.
18% bad, like 80-some-odd percent good.
Yeah, yeah, it's not that bad. Pick it up if you can, Star Fox 64 3D, or, you know, I'm sure there's a ROM available. I'm not even sure what the legality ruling is on downloading and playing Super Nintendo ROMs when the games are no longer being manufactured yet can still be purchased.
I can't speak to the... I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I just feel, and maybe this is a separate discussion, like when a game becomes vaporware, like when a game kind of just disappears from commercialization, like I don't think, with the exception, maybe that's the legality. Like we could buy one of those Famicom Duo clone machines, the one that'll play like regular Nintendo and Super Nintendo and Genesis, and then we can eBay and find Star Fox. But it's not like the developers are going to get money from me buying their game off of eBay. Like, I just don't see what the big deal is.
I don't know.
I feel like if your console is no longer being made and you can't buy the game from the actual first party reseller, the first party like production company, it should be good. You should be able to emulate. Just my thoughts. We're going to cut to a song real quick. This is actually Star Fox Corneria Asteroids by Entertainment System.
This was a nice long segue into the song.
Yeah, yeah. And
we thought we were doing a retro gaming section.
We're going to come back And we're going to show you some more. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
It's already.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was Jonathan Colton with The Future Soon. It's off of the Code Monkey Save World acoustic thing that we had mentioned previously. And before that, Star Fox Corneria Asteroids by Entertainment System. I actually recently got in the graphic novel version of the 4-volume comic book for Code Monkey.
Nice.
It's really good. I almost like don't want to read it because I don't want to like smudge it all up.
Don't be that guy.
I want to be like,
take your toys out and play with them, Matt.
It's like the guy from Rocker's Modern Life, like, you know, wash your hands, turn the page, wash your hands, turn the page. That's how I feel. So, but they're available on Comixology. Again, you could check our previous show. I think it's the season 5, episode 3. Show notes, I link directly to it, so you can check that out. We are doing something really cool on the website that we didn't mention. And I only...
What's that, Matt?
It's a brand new segment that's coming to the website called Artist Showcase, where we actually write about a lot of the artists.
We take an artist, we put him in a showcase, and then we upload him to the website.
We try to feed him as much as possible, but...
Legally, what we're required to do.
We don't keep pets very long here at Experience Points.
You always forget to poke the holes in the top of the jar.
Is that what happens?
That's
I thought
the
they just go to sleep.
No.
They just got tired of looking at
me. You gotta put breathing holes.
But yeah, so we're going to have the first artist showcase is gonna be the Proto Men, and then we might do Jonathan Colton, might do, you know, some other stuff, but it's gonna be really cool. Now we're gonna talk about a really crazy thing that happened. We both used to play World of Warcraft.
Oh yeah,
and
everyone played World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft's fun. They just came up on their 100 millionth subscriber.
Wow,
and that's a lot of subscribers. That's a lot of money just in subscriptions, like just in $15 a month,
not in transfers and all that. And
stuff. Name changes, buying like things like mounts, or even buying the game.
Buying the game itself, the battle chests and such.
But we have since then stopped playing WoW, and I might go back to it honestly before Warlords of Draenor.
Not bad. I get tired of it.
That's why
it's been around my life so long. I think, you know.
Yeah, it's like your go to. Like I know I can jump into WoW. I could, you know, within 5 minutes, you know, charge $15 to my credit card and jump back into WoW. Well, I guess maybe not 15 minutes. Maybe like 15 minutes to have the ability, and then a day to download the game. But
on your internet, can I actually give it 2.
Yeah, I get well. I'm sad about it. But, you know, you could jump back into WoW, and WoW is going to sort of be the same, more or less. Like, you're not going to be...
I mean, if you haven't been in a long time, they destroyed the world.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of just cut it up a little bit. They are going to be releasing Warlords of Draenor fairly soon, I guess. You know, sooner rather than later.
Coming out at some point,
I might get back in right before that, so I can play Warlords of Draenor. But currently, I'm playing Eve. And Eve's great. I've got to say, I really enjoy Eve, and it's not a game for everyone.
No, it's not. I like Eve on the fact that it's really hardcore about the stuff. Like, you lose your ship, it's gone.
Yeah, it's you can insure it, but it's like real insurance. Like
you pay for it.
If you pay for your car and you insure your car, your insurance will never be able to fully replace your car at its prime. Like, that's just not how insurance really works. It can offset the cost, but it'll never actually, like, fully replace your car. It's very true in Eve. You can insure a ship for, say, like, 8 months or whatever, 30 days or 30 months or whatever. And it doesn't matter. You pay enough money, you know, I guess maybe you pay half of the cost of the ship to insure it for 70% of the cost of the ship.
No, this is actual money.
Well, this is actual. It is in-game money.
It's in-game money. But
it translates.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about translates as in you pay $30 to some Chinese, you know, gold farmer and you get mailed.
There's an exchange rate.
They sell these things called plexes. It's player license or pilot license extensions. And essentially a plex can be dual purpose. It can be an in-game item that you then cash in for money. You sell it to other players, and it doesn't just get converted into money. Like, they have that plex. They have that item now. Or, and then, you know, that's worth, I think last time was like $350 million or something like that. It wasn't an extremely huge amount of in-game currency, which is called ISK, ISK, but it's a good starting point. And for $30, sometimes they do $20 or $15, you can find Plexes on sale on like Amazon, which is actually a real marketplace for it. You can get a lot of in-game money for a little bit of real money. Likewise, that Plex, or I guess alternatively, that Plex can be cashed in to the system, to the game system, and you can have 30 days of playtime from that Plex.
So you don't have to pay your monthly subscription.
So you don't have to pay your monthly subscription. And the really cool thing is, because it's an in-game thing like that, if you bought Plexes in-game with money you made in-game, then you can use those Plexes to fund your game. You never have to actually pay for you know, your actual game time. You can just pay with play. Play to play. But yeah.
Just play the game.
Yeah, you play the game. It's really funny. So that's the idea. Like, it does ships and items in the game are real money to some point, because you can always sell everything you have, get Plexes, sell the Plex, get ISK, or sell the Plex in the real world, transfer the Plex around. You can get real money out of it. Everything takes time, and time is measured.
Money.
Time is money, real money. Yeah. You know, you're paying for a subscription. It's $15 a month for Eve. So recently, in the 10 years Eve has gone on, it's now in the second decade. They've had a lot of good, really good battles, right? The biggest one happened a little over a week ago. Last Monday.
It was a big one.
It was a huge one. Tons of Titans.
Now the thing, in case you don't know. On Eve, everyone jumps in together. It's like this massive community.
Well, it's one server. It's not like a bunch of realms.
Right. You made that clear that, like, there's tons of players in this.
Yeah.
And these ships, like we said, you can translate to real value. And they have, like, things called Titans that, like, you're not going to make a Titan by yourself.
Right.
It takes a corporation or a guild to make a Titan.
And it's going to take a long time, like, just to get the assets. And it's worth a lot of money.
Like, it's an actual effort. And you feel proud of the Titan that your corporation owns.
You don't get into the game and say, I'm going to pilot a Titan.
Yeah, I'm going to give me a Titan. And
That's not the first thing you do.
You see a Titan fly by and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. When you see a Titan fly by, you like, I want to follow it, but I don't want to follow it.
But I don't want to follow it because I don't want to get messed up. Whatever they're going to do.
75 Titans were involved in this big, giant, they're calling it BR, the BR fight. 75 Titans.
That's mind blowing.
But then it wasn't just Titans. It wasn't just Titans. That's how 75 Titans were lost. I'm sorry. So 75 Titans were destroyed.
Just gone.
There were more than just these 75 Titans. There were tons of other ships. But the Titans were the big ones.
There's all kinds of, like, everything down to frigates and single person flyers and all that stuff.
The
Titans.
But before the 75 Titans, before this BR fight, a previous two fights actually, they had lost like 12 Titans. 12.
That's a lot of Titans.
Okay, that's all. One Titan's a lot of Titans.
Yeah, a Titan
goes
down, that's a lot of time, money, and effort that's been spent by a lot of people.
Right. Now, when we're thinking, you know, time, money, effort, I know some of you are like probably rolling your eyes like, well, how much money can an in-game asset be? 75 Titans lost, and all the other ships lost. Over $300,000.
U.S.
dollars. Not in-game dollars. Not ISK.
Actual real money.
Like, I could take out my wallet, and if I wasn't broke.
Pull out your $300,000 you got sitting there.
I couldn't fit that in my wallet.
Lay it on the table.
It is ridiculous. So,
So, what was it? 17 Titans went down?
75 Titans.
75.
75
yeah, that's
Titans.
What I meant, yeah.
And it's, so there were over 7,500 characters involved. Now, some of these accounts are dual box, triple box, quadruple box accounts, and it was two big coalitions. It was I can't remember who it was, but I think it was Pandemic and Goonswarm. It was crazy. There were 75 Titans lost, but there were 13 super carriers, 300 plus, like almost 400 dreadnoughts. It's crazy to think that all of those were lost. Those are just like ship costs. The fittings on the ship, that's like, you know, you get an awesome car, and then you put an awesome stereo in it, and then you bling everything out. You know, that's, you put special tint. When you wreck that car, you're not just destroying the car, you're destroying everything that was in it.
All the assets with it.
Right. So like the lasers, the doomsday lasers that the Titans were carrying.
Yeah. gone.
It's pretty crazy. In fact, a crazy statistic, because CCP, the company that does Eve, they keep stats on like everything. It's really, really great.
Because they want to see how much money they're
making. They said...
Like $300,000.
They said that the Doomsday lasers that those Titans were carrying, they were fired 775 times. All right? So almost 800 times. Wow. It says that that accounts for 24% of all Doomsday firings in the last 2 years. From this one 21-hour... I don't think we said that. 21-hour...
21-hour battle. So, like, you're wondering how long this is. This isn't, like, something that took 2 hour raid or something.
No.
This was an entire day of fighting.
It is...
In real life.
It is ridiculous.
These people are hardcore going at it.
I can't wrap my head around 11 billion, or I'm sorry, 11 trillion ISK, which is currency. Translates to 300 to 330,000
USD.
Really, really crazy. But
was spent on this battle,
this war. Elise Randolph from Pandemic Legion, one of his the fleet commanders. He said a really cool phrase though. He says really,
I did like how
really awesome it. Quote. He says, "Quote: The lost momentum in the southern conflict due to the BR fight is a far greater loss than the ISK assets because try as you might." You cannot buy swagger.
You can't do it.
You can't buy swagger.
Swagger is earned, not bought.
Man, it is. I don't know. I feel good when I'm playing Eve, and I just don't. I get out of a mission. Like, I'm doing level 4 missions now, and I feel good that I didn't lose a ship. I feel bad when I lose a drone. Like, I'm still in that baby stage of Eve.
You're like, aw.
After playing. Well, I've been playing for like a year, and drones are cheap. Drones are real cheap. But it's like, I don't feel bad that I've lost the drone because I have to go buy another one. I feel bad because now I have to remember to go. I don't think I have like a surplus of drones. I have to actually go to a place and buy a drone. And there's never a drone in my system for sale. There's always a drone like 4 jumps over. And I'm in a Typhoon right now, which is sort of slow. It's like a big battleship. She doesn't turn on no dime, you know. It takes a while to kind of to get that over there. But with all of the loss, with the huge amount of monetary and loss that occurred, they're getting a memorial, in-game memorial. It's called like the Titan Amachi or Titan Maki or whatever.
They deserve it.
Titanomachy. It's hard. English is hard. But they're getting this big in-game like. Graveyard monument thing to commemorate the big BR battle, the Southern Conflict battle. So really awesome there. And I guess this sort of brings up something we can talk about. At what point do you shell out too much money for an MMO, for a game in general? Because microtransactions.
That's the big thing right now.
Those will get you.
Especially on mobile devices.
Right.
You can talk to a lot of people. Ask about that Candy Crush. How much have they spent on that? They don't want to tell you.
My girlfriend was like that. She's not going to buy anything on Candy Crush. And I was like, if it bothers you this much, why don't you just go and, you know, spend 10 bucks and get a billion or whatever, I don't know, lives you can get, or you moves. Yeah, I don't know how Candy Crush works. It just looks like Dr. Mario to me. I'm not sure if, or like Tetris. I don't know if I'm looking at it the wrong way, but that's what Candy Crush seems like to me. Separate topic. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to do the microtransactions.
She hasn't
done anything. But I know, yeah. I don't think she's lying about it. There was a game like the Smurf game where you could buy Smurf berries.
Yeah.
And the Smurf berries did almost nothing.
Oh, and then you have like the Simpsons game.
Oh yeah.
People have spent a lot of money. You could buy
like
what,
like donuts or whatever?
Yeah, you could buy like all kinds. You could buy like the sign for Springfield and stuff. And with the actual money, you know, you build your little Springfield city and
I feel like some games, you're getting something, like The Sims. The Sims was the first one I remember that actually sort of did it, where they had a marketplace, and you can buy items, one item here, one item there, and it'll just be in your game. And it was just pure vanity. Like, you just had it to have it, to show it off. Look at my stuff. I'm better than you. I got all my stuff here.
Isn't that why we buy things anyway?
Well, yeah. I mean, some things, yeah. But like The Sims, it was like that was the point. You built
right,
it.
Right.
You were enriching your Sims lives because you don't have real friends. You got your Sim friends. So go for it. Do it. But then, I don't know. I guess I couldn't imagine. And I spent a lot of money on WoW. Just thinking about that, like I bought all the expansions when they were brand new. I bought the game, the original game, Vanilla, when it was brand new, and I've done a couple changes, like a couple realm changes, one name change, I think.
And then your monthly fee.
And then there were like probably a good 9 to 10 months over the 8 or 9 years I was playing. I didn't play at all.
Right.
I didn't log.
What was it, $15 a month?
Yeah, I just was throwing money at them. And I told myself, like, well, if I wanted to get on, it's cheaper to want to get on, to pay and not have to deal with a reoccurring, or to deal with, like, the one-time subscription thing.
This is why I play Guild Wars now. That way I don't have to, I don't feel like I have to worry about it.
I feel like that's how... And Star Wars the Knights of the, or Star Wars the Old Republic is very much like Guild Wars now, where it's free to play. If you wanted a, I can't remember what it's called. It's like entitled or privileged or subscriber.
If you want to feel entitled.
Yeah, yes. It's like a separate subscription service where if you want to give BioWare and EA money, you can, and you'll get like, I don't know, a ship that can run some parsecs or whatever. I'm not exactly sure how that works anymore, but you know, you can get like a little mini Han figure for your starfighter for it, but it's free to play now, just like Guild Wars. And I don't know, like EverQuest did it.
I'm gonna say it's a very smart marketing move, microtransactions.
Yeah,
because like people get the game initially, and so now they have the content, and they think, well, I'm not gonna spend any money on this. It's free, and I'm playing it on. And the mobile is where it's really big. You know, you get it on.
You
your
can
iPhone.
Take it with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's on your iPhone. You're bored in line. And you're like, oh, I'm out of clicks or crushes or whatever it is that I do.
I need more moves.
And they're like, oh, for a dollar you get 100 more. Like,
give me some Smurf berries.
Give me them Smurf berries.
It's only a dollar.
It's only a dollar, right?
$50 later. $500 later.
Why do I have 500 billion Smurf berries?
Yeah. It's really. And I guess we're still not answering the question. At what point is it too much? Like, I guess it depends on the. You know what? That's a hard question.
It's an individual question.
Yeah.
Do you want your Smurf berries?
Well, I feel
do
like.
Do you care about Smurf berries?
I feel like for games in general, like subscriptions, Sony did this really cool thing back when Hellgate London and Dark.
So excited about that game.
Dark Age of Camelot and a few other games were underneath SOE, so Sony Online Entertainment. They had a joint subscription. You'd pay $20 a month, and it would be like subscriptions for four games. You could play any of these four games and it'd be fine. And that was really cool to me. Like that would work out. And I feel like there needs to be some intermediary service that allows you to. Yeah, like some
microtransaction service.
Like virtual
currency.
A platform for things like that. So you could say, I want to play. Give me a number of game hours. I'd prefer buying game hours over buying month subscriptions, because if I'm going to spend, say, 24 game hours. 24 game hours is a long time in a game. That's playing 1 hour a day for almost an entire month. You know, that's playing one entire day completely all the way through. And I feel like if I had the ability to switch over to a game hour service instead of a monthly subscription service.
You want the ability to play the game.
Right, but I feel like I would make my game time count a lot more. I wouldn't just sit idle in an inn.
Oh, okay. You're talking about versus the monthly subscription.
Right. Instead of $15,
You can see the reason they do that, because you just throw money at them at some point.
But I think, you know, they're really, I don't know, I guess hardcore gamers would still keep the monthly subscription because they know they're going to play more than, say it's 50 cents an hour. So for $15, you get 30 hours. You probably play more than 30 hours a month if you're really good and really into WoW. And likewise, you know, I imagine you do the same thing with any other big online game. But you've got... I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm okay with that more than I am with releasing something for free and then making the expansions really expensive. Like you're buying a whole new game for an expansion, like Battlefield 4 does.
Most of the expansions don't even have to be the thing. It can be, like you said, the small items. And I think that's what really is where you're going to make the money off of it and get people to buy it, because they're like, oh, you know, this is a dollar or whatever. But then over time, they may spend $30, $40, $50 on this game that was free.
Yeah.
So... At what point are you spending too much? I don't know. It depends on the person. I hate microtransactions personally. I know people who love them because you don't have to pay the front end of the game. I'd rather give you my money now and be open to playing whatever I want.
I like the idea that Eve and a few other games have done it, and I think Wildstar, which is a new MMO coming out.
That one looks really cool.
It looks really good. They got a lot of voice talent behind it. Anything Tara Strong is in and doing, I am all about it. I think she's pretty awesome, but I heart Tara Strong. Anyway, no, I like the ability to play a game, and if I become really good at playing the game, I could offset the cost of paying for the game with my play. I like being able to do that with Eve. I know I have a buddy who plays five accounts. I'm currently doing two. It's like my first time ever dual boxing an MMO. I play two accounts. He plays five, and he is able to pay for three of those accounts with the combined earnings of, you know, like the slush fund, as it were, from those other, from all five of those accounts. He's able to, you know, pay for 3/5 of that. And that's really cool because he's really only paying as much as I am. And he's doing way more. He's a fleet unto himself. And I feel like that's really, really awesome. When you get really good, you know, it wasn't always like that. He didn't always have that ability.
Oh, yeah.
But once you get the game, once you make the game, you know.
You get the momentum going and you're into the game. When you're into the game, they let you play the game.
Right.
Which is cool.
And I feel like you couldn't do that. You know, the people that play WoW and they play a ton of WoW characters, you know, they're still shelling out $15 per month for each character account. That's a big deal, but
that is a big deal.
We are going to cut to a song.
We're not even going to make you pay for it.
We're not going to make you pay for it.
It's free, if
you would like to donate though to Experience
Points, we'll take donations. We'll take your money.
I guess we'll drop that after the break. But audible.com and Usenet Junction. Check us out. exppoints.com/affiliates. We're going to round the show out after this song. This is the Proto Men with Keep Quiet. And you're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm Red Bear.
And I'm MG. And that was the Proto Men with Keep Quiet. We're out of time.
We're out of time. Again.
You know, it's crazy how time works.
It keeps going.
It feels so long since like the last time we did a show.
Yeah, like, and
it's
2 weeks.
It's really
something.
Only been 2 weeks. It felt like a month.
Like 2 years.
Yeah. Not that long. I think you have a mental problem. If it felt like that long, you just space out for reals. We are going to pitch the website and then we're going to head on out. We're going to get out of this place. The website, what's that website, Bear?
That's exppoints.com. Always double tap the P.
That's crazy. And you know what's also crazy? The Facebook site, which is?
Facebook.com/experiencepoints. Or
we can do FB.com now.
FB.com/experiencepoints.
I'm
going to try that right now.
We're pretty excited because we are working real hard on making the Experience Points platform. Because right now you're listening to the radio show. But
you got that?
I mean,
on the radio listening to the show.
Well, the official
it's
name,
a radio
this
show.
We say welcome to Experience Points, but
it's
technically the Experience Points radio show.
Welcome to it.
Welcome, howdy doody. But yeah, we're working really hard on increasing the production value and the quality of everything on the Experience Points platform. So the future podcasts we have coming out, not podcasts about the future, like the podcasts in the future.
Future podcast.
The future podcast.
The current podcast when the future gets here.
Right. We're trying to make really high production, high quality podcasts, high quality reviews. Red Bear bought some equipment. I got a camcorder. I got some equipment. We have got an awesome beginning video, like a logo video that's going to come out.
I expect Pixar quality at this point.
It's really awesome. We learned how to do stuff
and things. We also learned things.
We're also trying to get some money to
do more stuff.
To do more stuff, like get green screens and build really cool stuff. I mean, we can front a lot of the money ourselves, but not that much money. I mean, let's just be realistic. Please check us out, exppoints.com. Click on the donate button if you feel like donating some of your, you know, cold hard earned cash. Or
Plexus.
we can go ahead. You trade me a Plex and Eve if you want. But
we'll get the cash eventually.
Or you can go to our affiliates link on exppoints.com/affiliates. And if you're looking in the market for an audible.com trial, you want to test out getting some audiobooks, you will get one free audiobook by using the audibletrial.com/exppoints URL. Or you can just go and click on the banner ad on the affiliates link on the website. Likewise, if you need an awesome Usenet provider to browse some news groups and get some stuff, Usenet Junction's hooking us up. If you go to the site, click on the Usenet Junction link, we can get you a year's worth of Usenet from news hosting for $99 a year. And that's the one I personally use. I'm going to be doing a review of it very soon. Fantastic. If you don't know what Usenet is, stand by for that review because it's going to knock your socks off. If you're wearing sandals, it's going to knock your feet off. You're going to have to...
You better wear socks.
You're going to have to get new feet. Crazy.
You need socks for this review.
We are going to end the night right now. Good night.
Okay.
We're not going to end it like that. We're going to end it with a song.
This is
First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. Check us back next week, provided it doesn't snow blizzard storm
winter
again.
Vortex.
If we get a lightning storm where the lightning somehow comes from the ground, we might not be there. But
man.
Check us out next week, Wednesdays, 9 to 10. And we're going to enjoy it.
I'll enjoy it.
Until then, we enjoy.
I hope y'all enjoy it.
It'll be awesome. From Experience Points, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And you've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.